Well, just to introduce myself again, I'm Pastor Jeff Figgs of Calvary Chapel up in Greeley, Colorado. And I have the blessing to be able to talk to you about the family. And I want this time to be a time of where I'm really just kind of sharing my heart more than anything. And you are probably going to hear more about my family than what my church hears about over the years, because I want to share some things as with my heart over the last 20 years of ministry. I've been in the ministry for 23 years. It's going to be this January that Sue and I moved up to Greeley, Colorado, and we started our fellowship, Calvary Chapel Greeley, in our home. And so this January, we're going to be looking at 20 years. When we did come up, I had Barbara, my oldest, she was 3 years old, and then Luke was 1 year old, and now Barbara's being 23 years old. She's off at Bible school at Marietta. She was a semester there. She's actually studying abroad at Malta right now, and she's going to be coming back to us next month, so we're looking forward to that. My son Luke, he was 1 year old when we came up. He is now married, got married this summer, so we're blessed to have an addition to our family, Ashley, and we're very blessed what God has done in their lives. And Luke now is on staff with me full-time as he's working with the youth, and he's the youth leader. And then I have two more kids. I have Rachel, who's 17, and she's a senior, going to be graduating. And then I have David, who's 15. He is a sophomore in high school. And those are my four children. Sue and I have been married for 25 years. That's consecutive years, all right? So, but we've just been tremendously blessed in the ministry, being up in Greeley, and then also raising our four kids. And like I said, I want to share with you some principles, some things that perhaps you can take home and pray through. Certainly, I'm not a perfect dad. Sue and I have never been perfect parents. We don't pastor a perfect church, but we don't have perfect children either. But one of the things I want to be able to do is just share with you, if the jets aren't going to be too noisy here, and just share with you some principles that hopefully you can take home and pray through, and it will be a benefit to you. I know that we have different circumstances. Some of you may have small children. Some of you may have children that are teenagers or out of the home. Maybe you have grandchildren that you're ministering to. You might be a single parent. I know that there's different circumstances that you have that I'm talking to, but I'm going to talk to you about some of our experiences and what we went through and what was a blessing and what the Lord showed me over the last 20 years. So I want to just, first of all, one of the things that was a blessing when I heard years ago Warren Wiersbe that said that the best thing that you can do for your church is to have a healthy family, and the best thing that you can do for your family is to have a healthy church. And as we go through these things, I pray that that being in ministry, it is a tremendous blessing. It's such a privilege and an honor to serve the Lord in any capacity, isn't it? And being the pastor at Calvary Chapel Greeley for the last 20 years, it's been such a tremendous blessing to me and to my family. And unfortunately, you can talk to many pastors that will tell you, matter of fact, one of the statistics that I read just recently is that 80% of pastors and pastors' wives feel like the ministry has had a negative effect on their family. And so I want to be able to encourage you as you desire to minister, as you're serving the Lord in the days in which we are living in. I want to, first of all, talk about unity and harmony that is in the family. And so if you'll turn to, I'm going to just read some scriptures. Other times I'm going to point out scripture to you, and you can look it up later. But in Exodus chapter 4, if you'll turn there, in Exodus chapter 4, verse 24, there's kind of a interesting story that is there that sometimes being on Calvary Live, I get a number of questions on it. What is this really all about? And in Exodus chapter 4, of course, Moses, who had been herding sheep on the backside of the desert, was all of a sudden called to ministry. He saw the burning bush. He goes to the burning bush. The Lord says, Moses, I've chosen you to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And as Moses was there, you know, first of all, protesting, and Lord, why don't you find somebody else? I'm slow of speech. He realized that the Lord was going to have him go to Egypt and lead 2.5 million people out of Egypt that were in the bondage and captivity of Pharaoh. And as he would go there, something very interesting would happen here in chapter 4. And we read in verse 24, and it came to pass on the way at the encampment that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. And then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at Moses' feet and said, surely you are a husband of blood to me. So he let him go. And then she said, you are a husband of blood because of the circumcision. Now, when I first read that, and some people read that, they think, what is that all about? All of a sudden, Moses, who's being called to this incredible ministry, and think about it, he was the pastor of 2.5 million people for 40 years. They didn't even have a building. They didn't have a church out there in the wilderness. And these people weren't the nicest people in the world. You know, there were times they wanted to stone him and always murmuring and complaining. But as Moses is called to that ministry, all of a sudden he's going there. As the Lord said, I've heard the cries of my people, Moses, you need to go. He had a ministry to where he would be known throughout all the ages. His name would become great. He would be known among the fathers through the generations and throughout history as the one who brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and would, you know, bring down the law and bring them up to the promised land. But as Moses is on his way, something interesting happens here, doesn't it? All of a sudden, it says that the angel met him, and the Lord intended to do him in and was sought to kill him. And all of a sudden, as Moses is pinned to the ground there, about ready to be slewed by the Lord, there's his wife Zipporah. And she gets out, and she takes a knife and cuts the foreskin off her son and throws it at him and says, you're a bloody husband to me. And then she stomps off. So not a whole lot of harmony there, is there? Or a lot of unity that is there. But oftentimes I'll get asked, what is that all about, Pastor Jeff? You know, that story. Why did the Lord pin Moses to the ground, sought to kill him? And the Lord knew he wasn't going to kill Moses. But I think there's a very important truth that is there, that first of all, that we need to understand if we're going to have harmony and we're going to have unity and blessing in the family when we're in ministry. And that is that particularly for you men, it's important to understand this, that your family, for any of us that are in ministry, your family is a priority. Your family is a priority in ministry. And you see, ministry is very exciting. And when we came up to Pastor Calvary Chapel Greeley, you know, we had visions like any other pastor would have. We wanted to reach the community, teach the Word of God. We wanted to see God work in a powerful and mighty way. And we have seen God be faithful in working through the ministry. But here's the thing that the Lord has always reminded me, that your family is a priority in ministry. And having my 4 kids, you begin in discipling them. You begin by teaching them. And Moses had neglected that. Why he did? He didn't circumcise his son. And his wife had to step up and do that, which he should have done. He had 40 years to do that, or how many years that he was married to Zipporah and then had his son Gershom. But we know that he neglected that. And we cannot, in ministry, neglect our family, because here's the truth, that your family comes with you in ministry. And we need to always remember that and keep that in mind. You cannot leave your family behind. And we are to make it a priority. So number one, you can write down in your notes if you'd like to, you can write priority of ministry to your family. Make sure that they are the priority of your life. Yes, it is important to be ministering at church or your ministry, whatever it is. You're teaching junior high, you're teaching children's ministry, men's study, a small group, you're counseling, whatever it might be. But your first ministry is to your family. You cannot leave your family behind. One of the things that we see for an overseer, an elder, a bishop that is described to us in 1 Timothy chapter 3 is that he must have his family in order, that they must be in submission. And what that means is that you're taking care of your family spiritually. And I know that I cannot do the ministry that God has called me to do at Calvary Chapel Greeley and being the senior pastor if my family is being neglected, if my kids are not being taught the things of the Lord by me, if I'm not praying with them, if I'm not, you know, loving my wife as Christ loves the church and living with her in an understanding way. So the very first thing is make it a priority, your family to minister to. You know, one of the things that I love seeing when ministry begins to grow and people are coming, but if everybody stayed at Calvary Chapel Greeley that came and visited or stayed for a while and then they ended up going somewhere else, we would have a church of 10,000 people, you know? What I'm saying is people come and go, but you only got one family. And you want to make sure that your children, that your spouse, whoever your family is, isn't left behind, that we make it a priority to minister to them the things of God, the Word of God, and make sure that that stays the priority in our ministry. Yes, ministry that God has called us to is very, very important. I'm not saying that it's not. But you will not be able to do your ministry if your family is being left behind. If there isn't that unity and harmony that is with your family, it means everything. And also that they are secure in knowing that you have made it a priority that they are in your life and that they are the priority of your ministry. That's one of the things that I've always tried to make sure that my children, that Sue, has always understood that you guys are very important to me and that you're the priority. And I've never wanted them to think that the ministry was more of a priority, that the church was more of a priority. I've been a chaplain for the Weld County Sheriff's Office for 13 years now, and that's an important ministry for me. I love doing that, and that's my ministry in the community. And they appreciate that I go, you know, during the week to church and I work hard. They appreciate it when and understand when I need to go, when I get a critical incident with the sheriff's office that I need to go. It might be in the middle of the night. It might be on Sunday afternoons. Who knows when it might be. But they also know this, that they are my priority. And they've always been my priority. And I never want to leave them behind. And that means everything to them. So the priority of ministry to your family, and then second of all, you can write down providing leadership to your family in ministry. It's important that, and I know that as you minister, that dads and moms and dads, grandparents, that you are providing leadership to your family. Don't pass that on, guys, to your wife. Don't pass that on to whoever it might be. Don't have the mindset of, well, I got an important ministry here. I got Bible study I got to do. I got to get prepared for this. I got lessons that I need to do. I'm still called to be the leader of my home. And again, we know that Scripture tells us that that's vital and critical, that we're to have our homes in order as overseers and as pastors. But it's more than just, you know, having our homes in order, but that leadership and leading our family. You know, it was later on in Moses' life, of course, as he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and to the mountain of God. And you know the story how he's up there on the mountain. He's receiving the law of God, and he's up there for a while, and all of a sudden the people down below become very, very impatient. And they said, where's this Moses, and where has he gone? And they made the golden calf, right? And they began to dance nakedly and carnally around that golden calf. And all of a sudden, the Lord says to Moses, Moses, stand back. I'm going to consume these people. And Moses interceded, right? He said, you know, Lord, why are you going to consume them? I mean, you brought them out here in the wilderness just to consume them? What will the other nations say? And remember your covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But in that, we see that Moses went up on the mountain the next day. He interceded. He said, Father, forgive them their sins. If not, blot me out of the book of life. But then something very interesting happens after that. Because that's the emphasis of Exodus chapter 32. It's a wonderful story how Moses showed love for the people and was willing to intercede on behalf of them. But then the Lord said something very important, and that is in verse 34 of chapter 32 of Exodus, and I'll read it to you, that the Lord said, Now therefore go lead the people to the place which I've spoken to you. Very important. Go lead the people to the place of which I have spoken to you. Listen. And particularly you guys, how are you going to lead your family if you're not allowing the Lord to speak to you? Go lead them to the land. Go to the place that I've spoken to you about, Moses. And Moses would lead them. Of course, he wouldn't go into the promised land. But the whole intention was to lead them to the promised land. And we cannot, guys, men, those of you who lead your homes, as you minister to your family, we cannot lead our families if you're not hearing from the Lord. So it's really important that you're hearing from the Lord, that you're seeking Him, that you're having devotions. One of the things that I harp on the people all the time is that have your devotions. Make sure that you're in the Word of God, because what can happen is you're preparing for junior high class. You're preparing for children's ministry. You're preparing for this small group. You're preparing Bible study, and it takes time, but don't let that replace your devotion time. And so, mom and dads, make sure that you have your devotion times, that you're starting your day there, and then that you are also, that you are sharing what the Lord is showing you and what He's teaching you through those devotions as you're growing in the Word of God to your children. Pass it on to them. Make sure that they understand what the Lord has taught you and how much He means to you and what He's doing in your life. Share that with your children. And be sure to sit down and pray with them and for them and have those family devotions. It is such a key to be able to do that. One of the things that we were blessed to be able to do and a choice that we made, and I know it's not for everyone here, but we made a decision to homeschool our kids. And as Sue was homeschooling them, you see, when I went up to Greeley, I didn't make Sue my assistant pastor. She's always had ministry. She's always been involved in ministry. She has taught children. She's helped teach lady studies. But we made it a priority that she was going to be at home homeschooling the kids and helping raise the kids. And one of the privileges that she'll tell you that she had with them is to be able to take them through the entire Bible. And that is such a valuable thing that I am so thankful for that she was able to do with them, because you know, dads, we're told in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, that fathers, you raise your children in the admonition and training of the Lord. And that's what we are to do. And I think that dads are specifically mentioned there in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, because it's like Paul, he's saying, listen, dads, don't neglect that. You're responsible that that's taken place. It doesn't mean that moms, you don't have a place in raising your children in the ways of the Lord and the things of God. Of course, you play a very important role. And I am so thankful that we were able to be able to do that to where Sue was at home ministering to the kids in that way, homeschooling them. It wasn't always easy. It wasn't always glamorous. And for you moms that are here that got young children, you know, the world's going to look at you and look down on you. But God bless you. As you choose to be at home with your children and raising them in that way, you have opportunity to do that, and the Lord's provided for that. And great is going to be your reward. You see, David, when he went to battle there at the end of 1 Samuel, and remember that the Amalekites, he's in Ziklag with his mighty man, he's hiding from Saul, and all of a sudden the Amalekites come, and David and his men are off, you know, presenting themselves before the Philistines, and all of a sudden we see that the Amalekites come and take the, you know, mighty men and David's, you know, wives away and their children, burn their homes down. These guys come back, and all of a sudden, they're all gone. So they go after them. They go after the Amalekites. And some of the mighty men, some of the guys that were with David, as they're pursuing the Amalekites, they were tired. And so they stood by the supplies, watched them, while the others went and retrieved, you know, their wives and children and had great victory over the Amalekites. And you see those guys that went to battle, they're on front lines. They came back and they said, these guys that stayed at here and watch the supplies, they don't get to join in with the spoils. And David rebuked them and said, they will join in with the spoils. And I know that the fruit of the ministry that's happened, because Sue has allowed me to be there at the church and has supported me in that way, and in such an incredible way, and playing her role, what God has called her to do, at home with the kids and raising them up in the ways of the Lord and teaching them and homeschooling them, that whatever fruit abounds in my ministry is going to go on her account. Don't lose heart, especially you young moms, that there's going to be such blessing as you're there ministering to your children, as you're able to do that and see it as a blessing. And not every day, you know, it's glamorous, you know, it's, you know, kids are throwing up and, you know, messing their pants and wiping runny noses and stuff. But you're going to see great things happen as you just continue to minister to them in that way. And for you who are supporting your husband, maybe as he's at church ministering, if he's on staff full time, that you're going to share in with the rewards. And Paul would write about that to the Philippian believers. The fruit that comes from my ministry because you gave is going to go on your account, and it will with yours as well. Now, as the kids are older now, as we have, Rachel's going to be graduating high school and Lord willing, going off to college up at UNC, and then David's only got a couple years left, her role is changing a little bit, and her ministry opportunities are going to be changing a little bit. And it's so wonderful. We've been praying about it and thinking about it, and I'm excited for her, but you can ask Sue and both of us, and we will tell you what a blessing it was that we were able to do that, and that she was at home with the kids and taking them through the scriptures. It didn't mean that I never shared with them the Word of God or never prayed with them. Of course I did, but she was able to do that as well. And it was a blessing to the kids as they, through the years, were able to have mom at home. So priority of ministry to your family, number one, and then providing leadership to your family in ministry. Make sure that you are leading, guys and parents, in your family. Make sure that the leadership is there and that you're providing for that. Thirdly, I got protecting your family in ministry. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor Jeff? Your home, your family, is of priority of importance. And when you're at the church ministering and you're seen by a lot of people, there's going to be times where you're going to need to kind of protect them. One of the things, what I mean by that is that you make sure that they're not the target of people. Unfortunately, they can be that. Unrealistic expectations put on them. And one of the things that I've always desired to do in our home is that my family knew that our home was a place of sanctuary. It was a place of safety. I protected them from, you know, a lot of the drama, that I didn't come home and there's all this drama at church and, you know, I just sit there and talk about it. I'd made sure that our home was a place of peace and security. I protected them in this, that, as I mentioned to you, you guys probably going to hear more about my family today than what my church hears, because I don't tell a lot of stories about my kids. I don't try to embarrass them. I talk about my children. I talk about Sue, but I don't tell jokes about them. I don't tell jokes about Sue, you know, to try to be funny. They hear about my family. They see my family. They're there at every service. But I try to protect them in that way. I don't try to use them as illustrations all the time. And I'll tell you what will happen if you do. Your children won't want to come to church. because you can talk about them. And I learned this, unfortunately, when they were small, the hard way. I remember it was at an Easter when we first started, and I was, I can't remember how I got on the story, but I was talking about how Luke, when he was a little kid, that he took a shower, you know, with the socks on, and ha, ha, ha. Well, guess what happened? Just about everybody that saw him at church, you know, ha, that's funny, Luke. And he was devastated by that. That you would tell that story and it was embarrassing to him. So I don't do that to my kids and I don't do that to my family. I try to protect them from all that. I don't say, oh, my wife is such a wonderful cook. She offers a burnt offering every, you know, meal and stuff. Sorry, Sue, I'm just using it as an illustration. She's a wonderful cook. You know what I mean? Don't embarrass them. You know, don't hold them up all the time to where, you know, they're being poked at and made fun of. And that's what I mean by protecting them. When I come home, I don't bring all the drama of the church home to them and to Sue. Now, with Sue, I can share with her some things, but I try to keep a lot of that stuff away from her. And so there's a balance in all that. And being able to protect your home. We have people over. We have live in West Greeley. We got a home that has an acre, and we have a huge yard, and we love to have youth kids over. We love to have people over and stuff. But also, as I mentioned to you, that our home is a place where my kids feel safe and they're protected. You know, one of the things that, this may sound a little silly, but you know, we always kind of gathered at the end of the day in our bedroom, and the kids would lie on the bed, and Sue and I were there, and we talked, and we laughed a lot. You know, Sue and I were talking about this the other day. We just laughed a lot and giggled a lot, and that was a place that was very important to them, and it still is today. I mean, I got two adults and two that are just about ready to be adults. And every once in a while when we're there, because they're kind of scattered, Luke's married now and Barbara's off in Malta. But I know that whenever we're together, guess where we end up? In our bedroom. And it's like, guys, you guys are big now. You know, Luke, he's like 6'3 and 220, and he's like a monster. He was a All-State linebacker in high school. And so it's like, Luke, you're going to, you know, break the bed, you guys. But they just lay in bed and they giggle and we laugh, and that was an important place for them. Have a place of sanctuary where your home is. Have a place of sanctuary where they feel safe and secure. And one of the things too that a couple things that I've learned over the years is, you know, when the phone rings, I don't run and automatically answer it. And, you know, on the phone all day, you know, evening long. I just try to keep some of that stuff away. When I'm home, I'm home. And it's going to be different for everyone. But even lately, I've been, you know, leaving my computer at the office. I'm not on the phone in the evening. So, we use social media, and we use it in the ministry, and we use it effectively. And Pastor Ed talked about it yesterday, about all that. And we should use it. But I'm going to go to the other side of the spectrum. Make sure that it doesn't run your family. There's a lot of distractions that can come into the home. And that, you know, you're doing this all evening, and on Facebook and all these other things where you're kind of ignoring the kids. My kids have called me on it before when they're talking to me and I'm not paying attention. And I've learned to just close that thing, my laptop. I've learned to put down the phone and listen to them and talk with them and to share with them. You know, a lot of the stuff that we look at and the calls that come in can wait. It really can. And I have to pay attention because I never know when I'm going to get a critical incident call. And they understand that I need to go. But when I'm home, I'm home. And my focus is on my family and ministering to them and being with them and enjoying them. And so, you know, make sure that you're protecting your family in ministry, providing that leadership, priority of ministry to them. Again, get involved in your children's lives. One of the things, again, that I always tried to do is, you know, when the kids were small, we did very special things. And I'd throw them in the car after services on Sunday, and we'd drive up to Rocky Mountain National Park, which is only an hour away. And they have very special memories of going over Trail Ridge in a full moon, you know, with the elk. Or going and watching through the binoculars, moose that, you know, are in the park there watching them. One of the things that we did is in May, we've been doing this for several years, we go up to Yellowstone. And we go up in May because that's when the elk are having their, you know, babies and the baby bison. And we go in the most remote part of the park, the Lamar Valley. Have any of you ever been to Lamar Valley? Absolutely incredible. Yeah, it's wonderful, isn't it? And if you ever go in about mid-May, and there you'll watch the wolves and the grizzly bears. And to be out there in the Lamar Valley with no phones, you know, no distractions, with our binocs and with the spotting scope, watching the wolves, you know, try to chomp on the little baby bison. It's cool to watch that. We've seen incredible things, a grizzly bear at a full sprint trying to take down elk. And those are very special times. And again, just spending time with your kids. And I've taught my kids how to fly fish. And those are special times, and going up afterwards and fly fishing. My daughter's an avid fly fisherwoman, and she's very good. And that's something that they love, and the memories that we have standing in the water together and just talking, going for runs together. It's a little harder for me now as I get older. I'm more like an old man limping. But we would run, and I'd talk with my son and talk to him about respecting his sisters and his mom and how he talked to them, because it's going to go a long ways in how you're going to treat your future wife. And I'm so glad that I took the time to do that, because in June, you know, him and Ashley stood before me as they came together in marriage. And the way he treats her with such respect and love is because we took the time to talk to them about that. And to Barbara and to Rachel, I've said to them, you know, you guys need to be careful, because you've grown up in the church and you know the Word of God and you've learned the Word of God, and you have to wait for that man who's going to come and lead you, because it's very, very easy for you to be the leader, and God hasn't called you to do that. So you need to be in prayer and waiting for that young man that God will bring, and God has the very best for you that he'll bring, that will lead you and guide you and be that covering for you and be a blessing to you. So all those things that, as you are just protecting your family and leading your family, are all things that you talk with your children about and pray with them and for them. We're going to get to that in just a little bit. So three things that I've given to you. I want to give you number four, purity to your family and ministry. So number one, priority of ministry to your family. Second of all, providing leadership to your family and ministry. Thirdly, protecting your family and ministry. Fourthly, purity to your family and ministry. You say, well, that's obvious. You know the problem with sin? It ruins everything. It ruins everything. So any of you that are involved in any kind of sin or carnality, that we need to turn away from it. Anything you're pulling up on the computers, any kind of, you know, again, the social media. I've known guys through the years that all of a sudden contacting an old girlfriend, or they're texting, you know, the gals at work or whatever it is. You need to stop. And your family needs to know that there's purity that is being worked out in your family. And it doesn't mean that there's perfection, but there's purity. And one of the things that I've done at my church is my board can come and look at my computer, board members, anytime. That I pretty much keep myself an open book. that Sue can look at my computer, she can look at my phone at any time. I make sure that, again, that here's one of the things that I do, and you might think, well, why would you want to do that? I do it because it brings them just security and assurance that I'm being upfront. But I always let my staff know, and I always let my family know where I'm at. I don't just disappear for a couple hours. But in my staff, I'll go and say, hey, Pastor John, Travis, you know, Teresa, Eileen, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down to the sheriff's office for, you know, a couple hours. I got a meeting down there. Or I'm going to meet somebody at Panera Bread for breakfast. I always let somebody know where I'm at. And Sue always knows where I'm at. Even if I go out in the backyard and I'm working in the garden, I let her know, Sue, I'm going to be in the backyard. I'm going to be working in the garden. But she knows where I'm at. It's not that she doesn't trust me, but I do that so she just feels secure in that, that there's purity, that I'm pretty much an open book. Look at my life. And that's what Paul would say. You know, look at my life. And again, they're not going to see perfection, but there's going to be that purity that is there. You know, I'm not on the phone, you know, secretly, you know. Sometimes that you have to talk to somebody in confidence, but they know that that's taken place. So I try to be as open as I can and making sure that they have that security that, you know, dad's being up front and not trying to hide things and not, you know, down at night on the computer. That's why I leave my computer at home. Anytime that I'm on my computer, it's in front of the kids that are with Sue. And I just do that. And I'll work there in the living room. So, you know, just letting them know where you're going. Let them know where you've been and what's going on in your life. And then fifthly, praying for your family in ministry. This has been mentioned already several times. Pastor Ed, last night, he said, you know, get ready, it's going to get harder. Remember that? So I went home and told Sue, okay, get ready, it's going to get harder. But it is a spiritual war out there. And every single one of you are going to be a target. Because you're growing in the Lord, you're desiring to serve the Lord, and especially the day in which we're living in. You are a target. So Ephesians chapter 6, we're told, as Paul has been writing to the Ephesian believers, you know, chapters 1, 2, and 3, here are all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6, this is how you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. This is how you live for Christ. And you're to have unity in the body of Christ. You're to walk in purity. You're to walk in love and in the light and walk in wisdom and make sure that you're redeeming the time for the days are evil. Make sure you're not being full of wine, but, you know, make sure you're full of the Spirit. And don't be as fools. And then he says, here's how you have harmony and blessing in the marriage relationship. And he talks about that at the end of chapter 5, right? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Husbands, that means that you are to love her supremely, unconditionally. You serve her. You cherish her. You are to be there in loving her the way that Christ loves us, willing to lay down your life for her. That's how you're to love. The Bible doesn't say, you know, love the church as Christ loved the church. We are to love the church. But he says, love your wife as Christ loves the church. Again, showing us that that is a priority in our ministry to our family and to our spouse. And then he goes on, he talks about how harmony and blessing in the home, as he writes that children obey your parents and honor them. You know, one of the important things is disciplining our children, isn't it? And we are going to discipline them. If you're not disciplining your children, you can't disciple them. If you're not disciplining, you're not going to be discipling. And the Lord disciplines us because of his love for us. And of course, we want them to grow up in knowing between right and wrong and knowing that when they do sin or they do something wrong, here's the thing, touch their hearts. Don't just let them know that, oh, you irritated mom and dad on this, but let them know what they've done wrong and why, and show them in the scripture, and also that it hurts God when they do that. So talking with them and disciplining them and training them in the ways of the Lord. And then here's how you have harmony in the workplace. And after all that, this is how you walk worthy of the calling which you're called. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Why? Because it's a spiritual battle that is out there. And Paul goes on and he gives that description of putting on the whole armor of God. So it's really important that you put on the whole armor of God, and you also teach your children and talk to your family about putting on the whole armor of God, because the enemy is going to target you in ministry, and that means he's going to target your family. He's going to target your kids. He's going to target your spouse. So we need to be praying. I think Sue and I are praying more for our kids now than ever before. We always prayed for our kids, but now as they're getting older and they're going out on their own and they're making their faith their own and they're serving the Lord, we realize that we need to pray more and more for them. And that's something that we make a priority every day, that Sue and I, before we end our day, that in bed, that we're praying for our children, that every morning that we're praying for our children, we're praying for our family. We pray for the church. We pray for people that we know needs prayer, but we make it a priority to pray for our kids and for our family, because we know that the enemy's out there and he's going to try to beat them up. He's going to come after them. And I believe that we're going to become more of a target in the day in which we're living in these last days, than ever before. Because the enemy hates us. And he hates your family. And he's going to come after them with everything that he's got. And he's going to look for every way to get a foothold into your life and into your family. So it's critical that we be in the Word of God, putting on the whole armor of God. And you're going through that armor. We just went through it. And know that it is a spiritual battle that is out there. And that we need to be engaged in prayer. And that's one of the offensive weapons that are mentioned there. You know, this, you know, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But praying always with supplication for all of your family, be in prayer. And don't forget to pray them. You remember Job? Job, what did he do? He got up in the morning. He sacrificed during the feast times when his children, his 10 children are out, and during the feast days, he said he sacrificed a bull on their behalf lest they sin. And that wasn't an easy thing to do, to get up and fillet a bull. But he took the time and he expended the energy to do that. Moms and dads, we cannot, in the day especially that we are living in, we cannot come to that point of, oh, I hope my kids are doing okay. I hope they don't get into any trouble. You got to do more than hope. And that is that you got to be praying for them and sharing with them the things of the Lord. You make it a priority to minister to your family, to your children. We cannot in this day and age say, oh, I'm too busy. I got things to do. I got ministry to do. You know, people are going to hear me teach. People are going to see me doing the work of the Lord. That's important. And then we're not praying for our family, for our spouse, whoever is linked to you. That we need to make sure that we're lifting them up in prayer and that we are making it a priority and that we are protecting them and being a covering for them, guys, and that we are providing leadership. Moses, take the people to the place that I've spoken to you. So what has the Lord been speaking to you? Make sure that you're in your devotions. Make sure that you're hearing from the Lord. And make sure that your children know that you love them and that they are the priority. And make sure that they know that I'm not going to leave you behind. That you're the most important thing to me. And you know what you'll find? I pray that you'll find what we have found. Our kids love being at church. They love ministering. It is a part of their family, the church family. It's a second home to them. And they're healthy in that way. And they're blessed in that way. And so I pray that they would continue in that. But we are so blessed with what God has done. And then the last thing is, it's by grace, God's grace, that he has blessed us in the way that he has. And I am looking so forward to what the Lord's going to do with our family and Sue and I in the future as our children are leaving the home. And I'm excited about us perhaps ministering more together and being able to minister to grandchildren. That's what I'm telling Luke. All right. Next thing is grandkids. That's what I'm praying for. But don't leave them behind. And don't neglect them. And make sure that you're praying for them. Amen? All right, amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for the opportunity to serve you. But Lord, we know that ministry begins at home with our children. We get to disciple them. We get to love them and teach them. And Lord, I pray that we would make it a priority. That we would provide leadership. Take them to the place that you've shown us as we're hearing from you, as you're speaking to us. Lord, I pray that we would have a place where our homes are a place where they're protected, and it's a sanctuary. It feels safe and secure. And Lord, I pray that there be purity in the home. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that's just, you're dealing with them in some area. Maybe it's with social media and giving too much attention to that, or maybe it's something you're pulling up on the computer. Maybe it's other things that are taking place. That we know that sin ruins everything. So there be purity in our homes and teaching that to our children. That sin defiles, it devours, it's bad news, and it brings hurt. So I pray that we would be ones that we desire to walk closely with you, and that our families would see a man, a woman that loves you and is walking closely with you. Father, I pray that we would be praying for our families, giving a sacrifice of time when we begin our day and end our days, praying for them and with them. And I pray that there would be blessing and unity with the family. I pray there would be harmony. And Lord, we know that the enemy's after them. He's going to do anything he can to come against our marriages and against our children. They are a target. Help us to put on the whole armor of God and to stay close to you. Thank you for this time that we've had together. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.